coming up on the Glue Guys today, we will talk about that devastating and disappointing loss against the Orlando Magic, why it happened, and what it was like in the arena. Brian?
Weird vibes.
Also coming up, we'll talk about Ben Simmons's back injury, what we know about that, and how that impacts the Eastern Conference. And we will name certain thoroughfares, streets, avenues, blocks around Barclays after your former Nets. What is proper? What is the proper street address for certain players around Barclays Arena? You will not want to miss that, Brian.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you said it.
Well, welcome back to Lou Guys. This is Mike here. Say hello, Brian.
Hello.
Flat. Ugh.
Ugh. Flat like the way the Nets ended that game against the Orlando Magic. We are the Glue Guys at BK Glue Guys on Twitter, iTunes, 5 stars. We need them. We want to have them. Please review us. And netspod@gmail.com. If you want to send in email, we will be doing another mailbag pod very, very soon. Brian, how are you doing?
I'm doing so well. Yeah, I just wanted to say, like, we've been getting some ratings lately again, which is super fun. And those reviews, I love them so much. We should start reading the reviews.
I was thinking we should do best reviews, like, per an episode. We each do a new review. And best also could be worst. It could be either or.
Do you want to give them Jared Allen bobbleheads that I didn't receive at the game last night?
What happened?
Because I was conned.
What do you mean?
By Barclays? I don't know. Well, so here's what happened. So I've heard of this happening, but this happened to, I went with GW, my dad, for the first time in a long time, bought the tickets off StubHub. The guy got there at 6:45 for a 7:40 tip-off, and we were not able to use those tickets. The reselling scam, you know this? You've heard of this?
I'm sure. No, so what happened? So, like,
you never heard of the StubHub reselling scam?
No, absolutely not.
So somebody buys the tickets on Ticketmaster, then they flip it on a third-party reselling app, and then they just get there really early to the game. And so GW, being the, he's just not an agreeable person, you know, in general.
From my limited interactions with your father, I don't think he would put up with that. Like, there's not a chance in halftime, hell.
So we bought other tickets. We went to confront the people.
Yes!
The seats. We just sat in the seats so that when they came back at halftime, we were sitting there. And they were very well-meaning, seeming foreign people who did not speak much English. And there was nothing, you know, nothing to be done but, like, but be like, these are not our, I don't know. Like, they just pretended to not speak English. Maybe they did speak English. I have no idea. My spidey senses are telling me that was their defense mechanism for the con.
Do you actually think they were the true owners of the tickets?
So this is where me and GW disagreed. I felt that they were the true owners and also the scam artists.
Oh,
you know,
no way, you actually did that.
We
confronted
did that.
Them.
And the best part is. So they had the Jared Allen bobblehead giveaways, and they had to, like, pry away the bobbleheads from us, which I was trying to get my dad to put them in his backpack because he brings a backpack to these things. Luckily, he didn't put them in the backpack, but there was a kerfuffle about who was going to get the gnomes.
Where are we in the arena when you're kerfuffling over gnomes?
sorry, I don't know why I call them gnomes. I'm just thinking of garden gnomes. We were in the sort of top of the lower bowl, like, you know, decent-ish seats.
When you walked into the stadium, you did not get a bobblehead?
It was, like, invalid. These tickets have already, like, gotten passed through the machine. Not allowed.
And so then how'd you get into the arena?
So I stood in there and just bought tickets again online on Ticketmaster, like, whatever.
Wow. I cannot believe the cojones of Papa Egan.
He doesn't back down, dude. It's unbelievable. And he was the problem too. Like, he didn't think to do it until I was like, you know, we should go as a joke. We should go confront them. And immediately I saw the look in his face. Like, yes, that is what I want. Yeah, I want that.
I can only wish to grow into that level of confidence in my older age. I mean, you and I, this, we've told the story a million times, but I went to a game with you and your dad, and your dad is the person that will look for seats in the lower bowl section that are unfilled to right. then fill them himself. And yes. There's a whole long story that we could retell, but essentially, like, we stole seats, and then we left a backpack at one point, so then your dad had to go.
It's always a whole big to-do, yeah.
Yeah. This is Super Saiyan seat. It's not seat stealing, but like the level of going up and actually confronting the people that wronged you in the arena. Yeah.
I mean, he gets that way about perceived wrong, being wronged, and it could not at all be that way. Just like, you know, inadvertent, you know, but a true being wronged. Oh, he's going to the mattresses on that.
Can I tell you another wrong that was not righted last night, Brian?
Please.
The freaking Orlando Magic somehow coming back to beat the Nets. In a game where we were getting those good camera shots from the YES Network of where you see Nets players laughing on the bench. The Nets were up by like 17 at one point or whatever it was.
I think 19 even at some point. Even 19.
Everyone was happy. It felt like, wow, it's not that there may be something to this. Without Kyrie, the Nets are better, but like the Nets were looking pretty damn good against the Orlando Magic, and then the Orlando Magic suddenly started to hit a whole bunch of threes. Terrence Ross scored 21 points in 28 minutes of play, and the team kind of imploded and exploded, but not in a good way, and the Nets lost a game, which does matter. It matters, frankly, but mm-hmm. What was your take inside the arena?
Yeah, I mean, I feel... So while I was there, I also was like completely distracted by all this other craziness that was going on, the circus of being there. So I was tuned in for like at various parts. So my memory of it is really when I was able to focus. You know, we missed most of the first quarter buying the tickets after being after being blocked in the first pass when things were going well, and then I tuned back in for like the implosion in the third quarter. What happens? Gosh, I don't know. I was looking on NetsDaily.com's comment boards, and people are up in arms. They've got their pitchforks ready for Kenny Atkinson and his inability and his complete inability to make in-game adjustments and so on and so forth. Honestly, like my takeaway is like I was pretty. Like in a million different ways handicapped from having true insights into this game. So while I was there judging the vibe, mostly I was more of a lightning rod for vibes than actual hard hitting basketball analysis, Mike.
Yeah. And like, so I don't want to explain this away. The fact that the Magic scored 74 points in the second half, a team that like 74 is sometimes what they score in an entire game. So I don't want to go with like, they just got hot argument. Cause I think that's lazy, but there was a real stretch where the Magic just got so hot.
Those Terrence Ross shots had no business going in.
I mean, Aaron Gordon, while he only went 3 for 4 from three, each of those threes felt like this is a little ridiculous.
You know how you could tell Aaron Gordon doesn't make those shots often is because even his three-point gesticulation seemed, his like celebratory hand waving, seemed messed up. It seemed wrong somehow. It seemed like it was the first time he'd ever done it, maybe.
I will tell you, it's interesting. You know, we've had so much discussion for like three seasons now that Aaron Gordon would be the perfect Net. You know, it was a thing that like we've been tracking. It's a guy that's constantly brought up in trade rumors about the Nets. And like that performance did show me what an Aaron Gordon Net performance could be. Obviously, he isn't a 27-point scorer, 10 rebound, 4 assists, 2 blocks, 1 steal dude every game. But he had one of the biggest blocks so far against the Nets this season in where I thought it, you know, we can criticize Kenny Atkinson's end of game offensive possessions. It's been a problem his entire career, which is interesting because he's typically been a really good out of timeout offensive game designer, play designer, but for some reason at the end of games, partly because he doesn't call timeouts and he doesn't run plays, is that he lets the guys quote unquote play the game. They typically have really bad offensive possessions at the end of games. That play where Caris LeVert got blocked was actually the right play that happened. I think it was Dinwiddie who delivered the ball to LeVert in a position where 95% of the time a guy like Caris LeVert is going to score. He just happened to be staring against Aaron Gordon, who had the most perfect block possible.
It was actually a pretty funny like matchup because Caris LeVert's hang time in those situations is fairly prodigious. And it was like it takes a very specific kind of jumper to block that shot.
An all-time leaper. Like, literally, if it was Vucevic there, that's a bucket by LeVert, right? If
100%.
Even if it's Mo Bamba, because Mo Bamba, while he has this, like, freakish length and he does have some athleticism, he isn't skilled enough offense, like, athletically in the air. Aaron Gordon is, like, the elite of the elite, and he just... I can't believe that that shot was blocked, and it was blocked so quickly, and then the game was basically over. But Markel Fultz then threw, could you see, you were in the arena, but could you tell what was happening when Fultz threw it out of bounds and with like 9 seconds left to give the Nets the ball back? Do you know what Steve Clifford was complaining about?
No, I don't.
So they showed it. So for everyone who didn't see this game, but is listening to this now, God bless all of you. It's a 9 seconds left in the game. The Magic have the ball. They're up by 2. And they have a chance just to throw the ball in, get fouled, and basically ice the game away. And, you know, goes 1, 2, Fultz is holding the ball. He just goes and launches the ball right around the 5 second mark into the stands. And Clifford's right next to the referee, who is right there next to the Magic bench, screaming at him to call a timeout right at like the 4 second mark. But right as that happened, Fultz then launches the ball. Clifford for sure called the timeout before the ball was thrown, but it's one of those circumstances where, like, that ref is only human.
Was he throwing the ball at that time? Because it was, like, truly to nobody, it seemed like. Was he doing that with, like, a five-head line of thinking? Like, if I don't do this now, I'll get the five-second call, so I just need to get it somewhere in the court?
Yeah.
Like, that's what he was thinking?
The angle from the TV, basically, there was no one. There was, like, no one underneath the ball to the side of the ball. You know, like, over the flight path of the ball, it was flyover country. It was essentially Nebraska.
Yeah.
Thank you. Global coastal elite right here.
Yeah, man.
So like Clifford was furious, and in that moment I'm thinking, holy shit, the Nets may actually pull this one out. The Magic screwed up so mightily in this final seconds that the Nets will get another shot at it. And of course, we know that that is not what happened. But it's one of these weird things where like, okay, the Magic and the Nets are essentially on the same plane right now. I mean, they almost literally have the same record. The Nets were, this is a home game. The Nets had a big lead. There were a lot of positives to take away from the game, but all those just get destroyed by the fact that they blew the game. I mean, Dinwiddie scored 24 points, 8 assists. LeVert, 19 points, 8 assists. You know, they look good. We had another great Garrett Temple game, one of the many games to be placed within the Temple. Legends of the Hidden Garrett Temple.
Nice.
Thank you. But it was disappointing. I think that's the takeaway.
A nice distillation of the Nets are better without Kyrie argument, just in like three acts, you know. It's like a you know, that's basically the beginning, middle, and end of that conversation. For me,
meaning that like this shows that kind of Kyrie would have been valuable in a game like this.
Yeah, I mean, I think that my general feeling about I think I've made this point on the podcast before, but basically, like, I think Kyrie Irving doesn't do a whole lot to, you know, win regular season games. He's like a creature that's made for the kind of microscopic lens of a playoff series versus just like going out and like winning random regular season games, because I just don't think he kind of finds the ability to make that important in his life. You could say that that's a bad thing. I'm not sure that I know if it's a bad thing or not. If you're saving yourself for the playoffs, how crazy is that? I don't know. It's not so crazy.
And I think this is, so there's a lot of Kyrie hate right now. You know, I was listening to Bill Simmons and Ryan Russillo. They had a pod that got released, I think it was Sunday night. And one of the several of conversations that they had, one of them was about Kyrie Irving. And Bill Simmons had a theory essentially that Kyrie Irving is this generation's Stephon Marbury, that like supremely talented point guard, kind of a legend on the court for what they're able to do, but will be unfulfilling and will have a shorter run than most anticipated. That like Marbury's run was basically over within 8 years, and Irving, depending on health, will be over shorter than what's believed. I would push back strongly on that, just because I think the difference between Stephon Marbury and Kyrie Irving is simply that every team basically wanted to get rid of Marbury once they got him. And the Nets want, obviously, Kyrie Irving. The Celtics would have kept Kyrie Irving if he chose to stay there. And the Cavs would have kept Kyrie Irving if he had chosen not to get traded. So it's like all of the teams that Kyrie has been on have wanted to keep Kyrie. Where Marbury, we know, like, pretty much immediately, like, teams want to get rid of him. Not that he's a bad person, but like he was kind of a questionable character.
The butthurt that the Boston fans are feeling is because they're scorned, you know, not the alternative.
Yeah, so I do think I think it's unfair to trot out the "are the Nets better without Kyrie" argument this season when we've had so few games with actually Kyrie and with this lineup and all that crap. Like, I understand it. I can hear people talk about it. I just don't know if this Nets season is the best example of, like, hey, the Nets would be better without Kyrie Irving. What? I mean, I don't really.
It's just not true.
Not valid. Real quick, by the way, I want to tease before we go into our next segment. I do want to tease something. We will have an interview with a Nets player on. We'll probably release it on Friday.
Wow.
TLC is joining the pod. Timothée Luwawu-Cabarrot. Wow. Very excited for that interview.
Me too.
Brian and I will chop it up with TLC, talk about France.
Oh, how about this? If you have any questions for us, you know, shoot it to us at netspod@gmail.com or at BKGlueGuys on Twitter. You know, that'll be fun.
All right. Coming back, we are going to do some news around the league. If you were to guess on average how many days people in the U.S. have to wait to see a doctor, what would you say? A week, maybe? Actually, on average, people have to wait around 29 days to see a doctor in major U.S. cities. Basically, a month. If you're dealing with a condition like erectile dysfunction, you want treatment ASAP. That's why our friends at Roman have spent years building a digital platform that can connect you to a licensed doctor in your state, all from the comfort of your home. Roman makes it convenient to get treatment you need on your schedule. Just grab your phone or computer, complete a free online visit, and you hear back from a U.S. licensed physician within 24 hours. If the physician decides that treatment is right for you, Roman's Pharmacy can ship your medication to you with free two-day shipping. You also can get free unlimited follow-ups with your doctor anytime you have questions or want to adjust your treatment plan. With Roman, there are no commitments and you can cancel anytime. So if you're struggling with ED, go to GetRoman.com/glue for a free online visit and free two-day shipping. That's GetRoman.com/glue for a free online visit and free two-day shipping.
It's the news!
All right, go.
News around the league here. We will start in Philadelphia. Ben Simmons, the Sixers star guard, Woj is reporting, will be out an extended period of time. Could be updated depending on when this pod is released. There may be more information. We're believing that Ben Simmons's injury track could be better known pretty soon. What we know about Simmons is that he played less than 5 minutes in Philly's loss to the Bucks on Saturday night, exited with back soreness. Woj is reporting by sources that he was described as emotional after leaving the x-ray room at Milwaukee's Pfizer Forum. Brian.
Yeah, not great.
Not great. I will say this. I think so. The bigger picture element of this all is that there's two things that are kind of at play right now with the Sixers. It's one is that, like, there's this constant sub-narrative that, like, either Embiid or Simmons needs to be the leader on this team, that the other needs to be gone. And no matter how long Simmons's injury lasts, I think we're going to learn some data on that. And then two, to me, still the team that presents the biggest challenge for the Bucks is likely a Sixers team with Ben Simmons and Horford and Embiid and Tobias Harris and all those guys, even as disjointed as they are. I still think all of those guys who are all those defenders and all that length on the floor, it will be make it the hardest situation for Giannis as opposed to, like, Celtics, Toronto, Miami. Do you agree or do you hate the things I'm saying as they're coming out of my mouth?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, I think I need to see more Simmons-less 76ers before I start making any, like, grand speculations. That's just me. You know, I operate on true data sets.
Like, I believe it. Yeah.
In general, though, I do think that this is, like, a pretty, if this is, like, a recurring, like, back issue for him or whatever, as a guy with back issues, let me tell you, it is a lifelong journey. Okay. Like,
yeah, that's that is the legit concerning thing, right? Is that,
yeah,
he, back issues are the type of thing that, like, I don't know. I haven't tracked the history of back injuries in the NBA, but they seem to be the type of thing that do persist over a long period of time if some guy is having those back issues.
Here's a weird thing about back injuries. They really hurt your leaping ability long term. It's a weird one. You remember when Dwight came back for yes, and played on the Lakers, like, right after the back surgery? And, like, he's gotten it back, you know, significantly in the last couple of years. But there was a period there of, like, kind of grounded Dwight. And Ben Simmons, in particular, interesting that it happened to kind of players that are similarly handicapped in terms of their skill set, rely very heavily on their athleticism. You know, could be a tricky injury. I'm not rooting for it. I'm not hoping for it. But, you know, that's a tough one for a guy like Ben Simmons.
Yeah, so it will be interesting to track this whole, the fact that, like, now it's all fully Embiid's team. I do think, like, the way the Sixers constructed the roster by, like, signing out Horford and signing Tobias Harris and going super, super big. If I'm the Sixers, even though Embiid is definitely the better player, I've become more and more in the line of, like, Ben Simmons is actually the guy that they should be building around. Like, if you were to construct a team, I'd rather have this sort of smothering defensive perimeter presence who is a 6'9 point guard who, yes, he doesn't shoot, but if you put a bunch of shooters around him and then a center who can even pop out like a Brook Lopez or whatever, I would rather see that team than a team point guarded by Furkan Korkmaz and it's Tobias Harris, Al Horford, Josh Richardson, and Joel Embiid. Like, I don't know how scary. So we're Nets with net that Embiid was terrifying while healthy against the Nets last postseason. And the only reason why the Nets had kind of a shot was that Embiid was not healthy. But I think, like, the highest ceiling of any Sixers team still revolves around Ben Simmons and less Joel Embiid. It's a pretty good problem to have, but I'm getting closer to saying I'd rather have Ben Simmons just because I think the team you can construct around Ben Simmons is more fun and interesting and exciting than Embiid.
Yeah, I mean, there's a pretty pervasive meme in 76ers fan land of trading Joel Embiid. Like, that's there's a serious contingency of, like, those fans who present Embiid as the problem versus Ben Simmons. I'm all ears for it. I like the idea that the 76ers would trade one of their premier pieces. I think that would be disastrous personally, but, you know, that's just, I haven't watched as closely as some of those guys.
So yesterday as well, recording this on Tuesday, was the, shifting gears a bit, memorial to Kobe and Gigi Bryant. Celebration of life ceremony at Staples Center, about 22,000 people there. A lot of extremely famous people, not just from basketball, but from all walks of life. And there's a couple of really poignant moments that stood out. Of course, Vanessa Bryant had, I think she had spoke for 22 minutes. Kind of incredible to be able to do that in front of that many people about, you know, what happened to her. But there was a Michael Jordan moment that deserves a real spotlight, where Michael Jordan spoke at the celebration of life. And he had a rather hilarious line that I think showed sort of what the evolution of Michael Jordan, the person, has become post his playing career. I'm just going to play it for us now while we're all here.
Now he's got me. I'll have to look at another crime meme for the Knicks. I told my wife I wasn't going to do this because I didn't want to see that for the next 3 or 4 years. That is what Kobe Bryant does to me.
So, I mean, had you heard that before, I imagine?
Yes, before the show when you sent it to me.
Yeah. Oh, did I do that too? Yeah.
Yeah.
I love what I think is great about that moment is that I feel like Jordan, after retiring from the Wizards, not the Bulls, he had kind of become detached from culture in a way. Like, his shoes and his brand is very much in the culture, but I never felt like Jordan was like where Kobe commented on, like, guys that are playing in the NBA. He would talk about those guys. He would be in interviews. Kobe was a present figure in current NBA, and that's because of generational differences. Jordan almost acted like a president who was leaving office and wasn't going to comment on the current affairs of the current presidency, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was, even though he was an owner in the NBA, he still was very kind of distant and really wasn't connected to the current generation of players beyond being, you know, the greatest of all time and his brand being a $1 billion brand and all that,
right?
Super fun stuff.
I do think that that's kind of interesting though, like, because, you know, if you ever read, like, I don't know, self-help books about, like, career movement or whatever, you know, as one does, they'll be like, you know, like, one of the hardest things to do is to, like, you have to, like, not, you know, talk to any like, if you're trying to, like, get a promotion or something, or, like, move on to, like, a different job or something, like, really, like, kill that previous version of your, like, career past and be presenting yourself for the job that you want or you want to be. I think like Michael Jordan, like 100% maybe read those self-help career books and did followed that to a T, because he definitely killed MJ the basketball player like dead in its tracks after he retired the third time.
But I will say of recent, so there's this like 9-part documentary or whatever coming out on ESPN about Jordan and his time with the Bulls. So that's that, like, so he's beginning to fill that back in. And this line, like, yeah, it's, well, one, it's actually funny. It's like legit way to go, Jordan, for saying that line. And it shows a self-awareness. It shows kind of what's happening on the internet. I imagine people, I know people, because I know he's talked about this before, showed him the crying meme, but to like address it in this way, in this venue, and make a joke about it, and then spin it forward and say why Kobe Bryant was so important that even Jordan will bring up the crying meme in this. I was shocked that, like, again, I felt like for the longest time in his post-playing career that he was just simply this guy almost on an elevated plane that he himself has placed himself on and put himself in his own little bubble that is disconnected from the current generation of NBA stars. And, you know, this is a crying meme is very much of the current generation. And he like lined it up.
I mean, that meme is spectacular. The face, I'm looking at it right now on the stream, and it is true. Something about the eyes, the depth of the eyes, something really there. Yeah, classic image.
All-star breaks are in the past, and teams have set their sights securing their place in the playoff race. Over in college hoops, teams are jockeying for tournament seeding. So much action, so little time, and DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, can get you right into the middle of all the action. The XFL is back to scratch everyone's itch for football. Check out the DraftKings Sportsbook app to see what special promotions they're offering on the most extreme league in the U.S. American-made, DraftKings Sportsbook is safe and secure betting app. You can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. It's no wonder DraftKings Sportsbook is America's top-rated sportsbook app. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code QUICK. For a limited time, all new users can get a sign-up bonus of up to $1,000. That's right. DraftKings Sportsbook has a sign-up bonus of up to $1,000. Do not forget, enter code QUICK and get your sign-up bonus of up to $1,000 only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey only. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Going from Michael Jordan to another Chicago guard in some relation, Dwayne Wade. We continue to celebrate Dwayne Wade's career as though he was the greatest player of all time. Do love Dwayne Wade. Great social media, but okay, a little much. But the mayor, I believe, of Miami, Francis Suarez, got a resolution passed unanimously that will rename 7th Street in Miami, which is adjacent to the Heat's arena in Biscayne Boulevard, to Dwayne Wade Boulevard. The street will be named Dwayne Wade Boulevard, which got me thinking, Brian. I wanted to play a little bit of game. Now, New York City famously has something like hundreds of streets named after hundreds of different people, even though we still call everything, you know, 2nd Avenue or 3rd Avenue or whatever. But there's all these street renaming. So I wanted to go and look around Barclays Center and think about what type of streets, thoroughfares do certain ex-Nets, current Nets deserve to have their name on, okay? I'll just so everyone's know what I'm talking about, a thoroughfare, right? Uh-huh. It's like, could be an avenue, a boulevard, could be a corridor, a bridge could be a thoroughfare. So do you have the list in front of you as we're speaking here, Brian?
I have the list of like those things.
The thoroughfares.
And some of the players. So when you were envisioning this, did you have like specific streets in Brooklyn in mind? Because that's sort of...
No.
Okay.
I'm not going to say like Flatbush should be renamed Dr. J.
So that's
Avenue.
More what I was going to... I was going to have like Reggie Evans like take like that the street that goes over the Gowanus Canal and stuff, you know, that kind of thing.
You do your thing and I'll just say what I think.
These are just coming off the top of the head here. Here's another thing. Let me ask you this, though.
Yes.
For the 7th Street rename, are they going to do the thing that they did with, like, 6th Avenue, where it's the name of the street, and then just below it, they give it a second name of the street, so that just confuses everyone and makes life terrible? Is that the idea?
Yeah. I think in Miami, so like in New York, it's common practice to do what you're saying, which is actually not to rename the street, but just give it a second name.
Call
which
it
is confusing.
The Avenue of the Americas so that nobody knows what anyone's talking about.
Yeah. No one has any clue. And like if someone walks up to you and says, hey, I'm trying to go to the Avenues of America, you know that they are not from New York City. It's one of the key indications. Or Houston Street, but that's a different sort of thing. This, I think they're literally renaming it Dwayne Wade Boulevard. I think that they are. I could be wrong. I don't really care all that much, right? But I think that they are.
Ooh, wow.
I like your thinking of naming specific locations. I haven't put that much thought into it, so I'm afraid.
I haven't put that much thought into it either, so we don't know. We can maybe tease this one out. We can send that to Twitter.
Well, and if anyone has ideas of specific streets to name after the players we're about to name, please let us know. I think let's go down the list as it is. Reggie Evans, you brought up Reggie Evans. You had a great idea to name it the bridge over the Gowanus Canal.
Well, so like I think Union Street is the bridge, but like, and that's a nice street, you know, for that part of it, except for where it goes over the Gowanus Canal, which is the smelliest canal. I mean, and that's disrespectful for Reggie Evans because he's not
very disrespectful.
I mean, he's like quite. He's like he's a meme, but he's not, you know, a stinky meme. You know, that's not what I want.
There's
something utilitarian about that bridge, Mike. Okay, it's a very industrial part of the city. It actually is Industry City, I believe. No, that's Gowanus, but it's close to Industry City. So that's like just you want Reggie Evans's name attached to things that are super utilitarian. Okay,
right. And so my thing of this is like, what kind of thoroughfare would you name Reggie Evans after? I thought of an alley. You'd stick him in an alley because that's, you know,
that's where you're loading up your trucks. That's where you're.
It's like a real, like, I'm here at the docks.
Loading dock.
Loading dock. The Reggie Evans loading dock down in the meatpacking district is where we're going to go. Yeah. Yeah. Kevin Durant. So I could go a million different ways to this. It depends what kind of career Kevin Durant is going to have. I could see a Kevin Durant Boulevard all the way up to a Kevin Durant Bridge.
I'm giving him the whole Brooklyn Bridge. If he comes and gives it a chip, you get the Brooklyn Bridge. That's the Kevin Durant Bridge from now on.
The in-for Kevin Durant Bridge.
Yes.
A whole lot of sense. Done. Yeah. Brooke Lopez. Where would you go with Brooke Lopez? What would be the Brooke Lopez Bridge?
I'm trying to think of like, so again, I'm doing a geography thing, which is kind of cheating.
I love it though. It's even better.
Yeah. But I'm thinking of like where Brooke Lopez's brand fits best in Brooklyn, I guess. And there isn't really a natural fit because, well, and that just goes to show just like how unique Brooke Lopez is in general as a human being, because he really truly only should live in Disneyland. That's really the only place that accepts him for all the parts of him. What's like the most Disney part of Brooklyn, I guess, is the question.
Well, I think we can expand it. So obviously the most Disney part of New York is famously Times Square.
Yeah, Times Square. Right? Yeah.
So the most Disney part of Brooklyn is probably somewhere in Park Slope where there's like two toy stores next to each other. I don't know. I think with Brooke, I'm thinking more of like it would be some kind of square park where there's a couple of jungle gyms. It's a real sort of probably another park in Park Slope. Maybe give Brooke a corner of Park Slope. But don't name it after him. Just name like a playground after Brooke Lopez.
Yeah, I think it's a playground, 100%.
Yeah, but like all the playground equipment are for kids who are going to be 7 feet tall. So it's all just like it's all already 6 feet tall. Giant kids. It's only for giant kids. I kind of think that's nice. That's Marshawn nice. Brooks. Where would you place Marshawn Brooks? Immediately, which I mean, one. Does Marshawn Brooks even deserve a street? No. I think he gets a sidewalk, though. I think he deserves... There should be a sidewalk of Marshawn Brooks, a Marshawn Brooks sidewalk. And I would place it... I would place it in the part around Barclays that they never tell you can entrance go into Barclays Arena from there, but, like, it's actually the secret entrance. I think just a small little memento to Marshawn Brooks, who was supposed to be the next Kobe. I think that's a nice place to put him.
Yeah. A nod. That's nice.
Kyrie Irving.
I was thinking like he's not. It's not a bridge. It could be a highway. You could get the BQE in there. You know,
a freeway maybe. A freeway, a parkway.
Is a parkway a freeway and a highway? Are those all different things?
Probably all the same. Actually, they're not.
I mean, I'm
they're not. I actually know. In fact, they're not. Robert Moses would
I was just about to, I was looking up the name Robert Moses right now.
Yeah.
You know, I've talked to some architects who are like very low on Robert Moses' contributions to the city.
Talk to some people in the not white communities who are also very low on Robert Moses. And yeah.
Yeah. That's
not a good guy. Not a great guy.
Sure. Sure. For those reasons as well.
So
I was thinking more about like car congestion. That's really where that was my bugaboo.
So I think he's like a traffic circle because he is.
Oh, man.
There is some value in Kyrie for sure. And traffic circles can have their own kind of beauty to them. There could be a statue in the middle and it's all very kind of graceful the way cars go around it. But to enter into the car circle, the traffic circle is so confusing. It's tough to really decipher where to really enter in to the conversation or into the flow of traffic with a person like Kyrie or a thoroughfare like a traffic circle. They're important, you know. Traffic circles are way safer than intersections. They're sort of revolutionary in that way. But again, it's still tough for all of us to grapple with traffic circles, as it is tough for us to grapple with Kyrie Irving. So I'll go the Kyrie Irving traffic circle, maybe the one right by Prospect Park. You know, like right there, it would be just past the arena. It's the one with the right by the Brooklyn Museum and all that. There's a traffic circle right there.
Army Plaza? No, is it?
Yeah, I think that sounds right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dr. J. Dr. J deserves... actually, they probably should name a street right around Barclays after Dr. J.
Like Flatbush. A nice prominent street.
Yeah.
And Darren Williams is just a dead end. You get him.
He's the sewage line. I left the sewage line in. Yeah, he's the cul-de-sac that like has like three broken down homes in, and then there's like one house that still looks kind of nice, but the neighbors are like not trusting of the other people.
Man, we've been dunking on Darren Williams the last couple of weeks here.
I saw Ben.
We gotta get it out of our systems.
There's this guy Ben Stinar on Twitter, who I think used to cover the Nets in some capacity, and he was saying that Darren Williams, total disrespect for Darren Williams, one of the top 10 point guards of all time in the NBA, and I was aghast. Absolutely aghast.
He said that to us?
Just had it out on Twitter, and I saw one of our followers commented on it, and I was blown away by that. I cannot agree. Cannot agree any less or any more.
I think I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. Last one.
Less, yeah.
Last one. Sorry. Before we go. This is a way to end on a happy note. This is so far seems to be the rant of the year in professional basketball. The head coach of the Wisconsin Herd is Chase Buford. And if Buford rings a bell, Buford is the son of R.C. Buford, who runs the San Antonio Spurs. And Chase Buford played at Kansas, and he's actually coaching the Wisconsin Herd to the best record so far in the G League. But his team, I think on Sunday, saw a 21-point lead disappear in the fourth quarter against the Grand Rapids somebodies, whoever they are. Ryan Rodig, a reporter who covers the Wisconsin Herd, interviewed Mr. Chase Buford after the game. And in his tweet of this video that we're about to play, he added the NBA G League because, as you'll hear in the video, Mr. Buford, Coach Buford, wanted this rant to be heard. And this is how Chase decided to express his frustration after his team blew the game.
The officiating definitely went right for Grand Rapids. That was as unprofessional as an officiating performance. I hope you tweet this out and tag the league because that was embarrassing. Matt Rafferty is a clown. That being said, we have to be so much better at the end of games. We can't blow a 21-point lead with 12 minutes to go. However bad and biased and unfair and illegal and cheating the referees are, we have to be better closing games. And so that's the way I feel.
Love that he doubled down on it in the moment. Like, I want you to tweet this and at me. That's so good.
And so if you saw the video online, which I urge everyone to go watch,
yeah,
it.
Really good video. Just a man who's truly had it up to here. Like, his hair is a wild man. Yeah.
A sweaty mess, angry. Someone tweeted following this tweet, it was like an image of Chris Farley from Tommy Boy. There's a lot of those vibes. I don't want to doubt Chase Buford's abilities, but this was a beautiful, it actually kind of makes me want him as a head coach because I want a guy who's that like that Mark Cuban-y, that furious at the refs, who's willing to like risk his own career just to make it known that those refs are crooked.
Yeah, the hair is I'm watching it right now. I'm rewatching it again on the stream. It's perfect. Just as you can tell his focus is he's got that heat in his eyes. Yeah, let's get him on. How can we can bring him on, right? There's got to be an assistant gig for him on the NBA level soon.
Yeah, and we'll get him on the glue guys. He can be the third glue man.
What's the better gig, you think? Like third, fourth assistant on an NBA team or head of G League?
So I think it's becoming head of G League, because so Nick Nurse was a G League head coach, and then he became like the top assistant for who was the coach before Nick Nurse was in Toronto. He's now the coach.
Dwayne Casey.
I think he was Dwayne's probably first assistant, I imagine. Mm-hmm. And I think the Nets current Long Island Nets coach was a former assistant coach with the Brooklyn Nets and then moved down. I think it's going to continue to become like the place if you're at the end of the bench, as you're describing this, that's kind of where you actually want to go to see if you can become a head coach. And then maybe you jump back up to be, instead of being the fourth assistant again, you back up to being the first assistant or even the guy who's hired to replace, you know, the head coach at some point.
I went to actually look and see if I could see that effing clown Matt Rafferty's calls on a replay of the game on YouTube. I didn't find them. I didn't find the calls. But I found some highlights of the game. I'll tell you what, the herd, they got a crowd that turns up, buddy. Let me tell you, the stands are juiced. To the gills. I'm not kidding.
Does the G League have a last 2 minute report? Like is there great. That level of analysis?
I hope so. Yeah, we'll pull it up.
By the way, shout out to Theo Pinson, who was named G League Player of the Week like 3 weeks ago. But it's we're now getting to that. So congrats, Theo Pinson.
Hey, good stuff, Theo. Mike, what do we have left? Anything? What's next? We got a game tomorrow, right?
We have a game tomorrow night. House. I'll be there live.
Oh, by the way, I'm eating crow about this Bradley Beal stuff. He's been having heck of a week here. Yeah.
You are. You're absolutely eating crow. As am I about Kevin Durant coming back and playing basketball. But I will say one last thing. Someone tweeted about saying, like, just in general, just said, I miss Kevin Durant in the NBA. And Kevin Durant responded saying, I miss the NBA. So
that's cute.
So we know that he desires to play in the NBA.
Wow. You're really trying to, it's not.
Dude. Okay. Can I just say one thing? If Kevin Durant comes back actually this season, does that give me extra points? I should get extra points for that, right?
That you're even talking about. This shows how, like, this is like a, like, I'm trying to think, like, you've really lost it here. You've lost.
I've lost
it's
it.
Like, Close Encounters of the Third Kind. You're just making like mountains out of. Like mashed potatoes right now in the shape of Kevin Durant.
Richard Dreyfuss does feel like someone who would have been part of my family at one point. Yeah. So I do get that. Okay. Well, thank you all for listening. On Friday, we're going to have, hopefully, Timothy Lubalu-Kaparo. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Send in emails, netspot@gmail. Send in reviews to iTunes, and we'll begin to read them. If you want to send money to us, Brian, what's your address?
don't do that. Or Anthrax. I mean, whatever. Money or Anthrax. You can I'll send it. Just DM.
That would be a good that'd be a good like streaming video game, Money or Anthrax. And we just have people send us envelopes, and it would either be Money or Anthrax.
Smart. Love it.
Yeah, sorry. Thank you for listening. We'll be back in your ears as soon as we possibly can. Brian, you're a real mensch.
Thanks. Thanks for having me, Mike. Hey, thanks for joining us, everybody on the stream. We'll be doing more of that stuff too. Anyways, hit the thing. Get out of here.
Yeah, boy.
Brian.